an outline, but there's a paper that goes with the message tonight and from last week. So does everybody have one of those? It's mainly something for you to take home. The front page, the front one side of it is pretty self-explanatory, just talking about the series that we're going through and the point of it. And then the back side of that has some questions there, and it's tied in with a series we're going to be doing about sharing Christ with others and a way to do that. And it all starts with prayer. So you can use those questions as a guide. Just ask God, you know, who in your life maybe he would have you pray for in response to these questions, and have an opportunity to share Christ with them. Have you ever heard something that's changed everything in your life? You heard it, or maybe you read it, and you realized, you know, this is going to change everything for me. There was a guy named Peter Eastman Jr., actually, and he lived in California, and that happened to him one time. He was looking through a book rack, and he came across this book, and he bought it, and he read it, and he loved it so much. He just thought this book just really was a perfect book for him, and he decided to change his name to the title of this book. So he legally changed his name to Trout Fishing in America. I wish that was not true, that it was made up, but it's actually a true story. What's that? I want to share something with you this evening that I think that it could really, hearing this could possibly change your life forever in a way that God wants to. It's something that you can do. It's something very easy, or very simple anyway, maybe not easy, but simple. And it's something you can do every morning starting tomorrow, and it can change your life. Last week we started a series, and we're calling it Simply Sharing Jesus. And after this series, we're going to have a six-week series called God for the Rest of Us. And it's really focused on how Jesus meets and loves sinners, which is really all of us. And it's going to be a great series. It's really geared toward not only equipping us as Christ followers, but it's really geared towards people who are unchurched or de-church, maybe people who've been hurt by the church and just don't come anymore, people who are really just disconnected spiritually. And so it's going to be a really good opportunity to pray, maybe somebody you can invite to come and hear that. And that's kind of the theme of this series that we're doing now, the few weeks leading up to that, is how we can be prepared to make contact with different friends and communicate with them in a way that encourages them to meet Jesus. And so everybody's got the handout. Did anybody need one of those? So if you don't have one, just make sure you get one before you go. In the Bible, you know, Jesus gives his followers a mission. And that mission, we talked about last week, that mission is to seek and to save the lost, and that's our mission as well. The Bible says that all of us are sinners. But some of us are sinners who have been found, we've been redeemed, and then there are other people who are sinners that have yet to be found. They haven't met Christ yet, and they're not been reconciled to God. So our mission is to share Jesus with people so that they might come to know Christ and trust in him and believe in him and come to love God. So today we're going to talk about how do we do that? And I think the answer is going to be encouraging for you. I pray it's going to be encouraging for you, because I think it's more simple than we make it out to be sometimes to share Jesus with other people. And I do want to give just a disclaimer. This is one way to share Jesus. It is not the one method. It's not the only method. Sometimes in ministry settings, we talk about different catchphrases like go and tell, you know, where we'd go out into the community on a Go For Sunday, or different outreach type activity, or we'd have come and see, where we invite people, which is a more traditional thing in the American church, invite people to come. And that's really the focus of this, but it's not the only way. So how do we do it? What's the most effective way to engage in the mission? And I would assert the most effective way is to love one person at a time. And that's it. And that's something that every one of us can do. No matter who you are, no matter what your personality type, you can love one person at a time. Think about what Jesus did. You know, occasionally Jesus would go and there would be a crowd of people, and he would talk to a crowd and he would teach them. He would feed people. He would minister to large groups. But most of the time, you see Jesus interacting with people one-on-one, and he's engaging with them, and he's talking to them, and he's loving them, and he's serving them. Like in Luke 19, we see Jesus, and he goes to a place called Jericho. And in Jericho, there was a man named Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was considered a really sinful man. He was very hated among his own people. And the reason was Zacchaeus was a Jew who lived among Jews, but the Romans had given Zacchaeus a job. And at that time, the Romans were trying to rule the known world, the world that was known to them. And one of the ways they did that, they would come into a place like Jericho, and they would set up a statue, an idol of Caesar. And they would command everyone there to bow down to the idol. And if they wouldn't do it, they would be executed. And so the Jews, being followers of the true God, I mean, they hated the Romans. They thoroughly hated the Romans for what they did and the way that they oppressed their people. Well, Zacchaeus not only took a job for the Romans, but Zacchaeus' job as a tax collector was collecting money from his own people in order to fund the army that was oppressing them. So he was despised. So Jesus comes into town and he meets Zacchaeus. And you would think, well, looking at Zacchaeus' sins and looking at Zacchaeus' choices, Jesus had every reason in the world to call him out on it, to really not want to associate with him, or if he did, to be very condemning. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house for a meal, and he's going to go spend time with him. And by doing that, by showing love to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, he starts desiring more of God. He starts desiring change in his life, and he wants to draw near to God in a new way because of how Jesus is treating him. In John 3, we see Jesus spent time with a religious leader named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was part of a group that was very opposed to Jesus. And Jesus could have made the conversation with Nicodemus extremely unpleasant. He could have made it very difficult, but he didn't. He loved Nicodemus, and eventually that leads Nicodemus to want change in his life. He wants to be more like Jesus. In John 4, we see Jesus spend time with a Samaritan woman who's known for sexual promiscuity. And Jesus has a conversation with her. In that conversation, he conveys that he cares about her and that she matters to him. And soon it leads this woman to want more of God, and she wants change in her life. She wants to be different. Our method, the way that we engage in the mission, is to love one person at a time as Jesus does. And you can do that, right? That's not too difficult. It doesn't require a lot of theology. It doesn't require extensive training. You don't have to be a great speaker. Anybody can do this. And it gets even better because, really, God offers to do this on our behalf. You don't even have to have the ability within yourself to love others because God offers to do it through you. If you look at 1 John 4:19, I think we got a slide for that. It says, "We love because he first loved us." So we see that our ability to love other people comes from us receiving love from God, and you can do that. The reality is, though, that we cannot give away something we don't have. You cannot give away something that you do not have. So if I were to ask Mike Murray, if I would say, "Mike, I'd like a yellow Lamborghini," you know, Mike's not going to be able to give me a yellow Lamborghini because Mike doesn't have one that I know about. If he does, I want your Lamborghini, man. You know, so the idea of loving people can seem challenging sometimes, especially there are people that rub you the wrong way, and you think, man, I don't know if I can love that person. But it doesn't depend on you. The good news is the amount of love that you have also, not only is it a matter of the love you receive from God, but it's not a fixed amount. The amount of love that we have, we're able to seek and desire and receive more and more love from God. God loves you, and he wants you to have a fullness of his presence. He wants you to have a fullness of his love, and he wants you to receive that in such a way that you're able to, as 1 John says, to return that love to him, but then also that you have it to give to other people. So I want to teach you a prayer tonight. Generally, I like conversational prayer with God, and I'm not too much on rote prayers other than maybe praying scripture, but I really want to share this with you, and I think that you'll be blessed by this. This is a prayer that you can start each day with. Not necessarily the only thing you pray, but along with other things that you pray, this is something you can start your day with. And if you did, I think this would change your life. I think it would help you remember, as it helps me remember, because I pray this, the mission that I'm on, the mission Jesus has given me, and the method of engaging in that mission, of loving other people. And it also reminds me of the resource, of where that comes from, that I don't have that in myself, that supernatural love that I need. I need to get that from Him. So if you pray this prayer every day, and you really, really mean it, I think it'll turn your life into more of an adventure. And I think God's going to answer this prayer in ways that will amaze you. So here it is. Okay, you ready? You might want to write it down, or if you've got an app, you can put it in your phone. I didn't print it up for you. Lord, how do you want to love me today? And who do you want to love through me today? For a change in your life to happen, you've got to mean it. And you have to believe and trust that God can and will answer this prayer, because He will. You know, we know that it's His will to love us and to show His love. We know that it's God's will to love people through us. Scripture makes that clear. So you start every day by praying this. Lord, how do you want to love me today? And who do you want to love through me today? It starts out with, Lord, how do you want to love me today? And if we go back to 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because He first loved us. And so the idea is that our love for God is a response to His love for us. When we feel loved by God, when we're prompted at that point to love Him back and to love others, it's because He's giving us His love and we're able to respond with that. The love of God, and it took me a while as a Christian, I think, to really understand this, the love of God is not a philosophical idea. It's not a theological concept. It's a reality. The love of God is a reality that you can feel, just like with another person. If my wife says, I love you, and she hugs me, I feel Kim's love for me. If I'm feeling down and Kim takes my hand and prays with me, I feel her love for me. If I'm having a problem of some kind and she listens and she just lets me talk about it, I feel that she cares and I feel that she loves me. And it's the same thing with God. It's the exact same way with God. God's love is something real and it is something that you can feel. But He loves us in different ways depending on what you need at the time. So each morning, you get up and you pray. You say, Lord, how do you want to love me today? And we have to mean it. We're saying, Lord, help me know that your love is real. Show me. Show me how your love for me is real. Help me to feel it. Help me to love, to feel that love in a way that I need that today, that's going to speak to me today in the way that I need. And if we sincerely pray that and authentically pray that every day, I think it's going to change our lives. Because by doing that, by praying that, we're really saying, God, I'm inviting you in. I need your love, God, and I believe that you want me to receive it. And I believe you're going to touch me with that love, and you're going to help me to find my identity in you today, in your love. You're going to help me to have the fulfillment that I need in my spirit today as I receive your love. You're going to change my life today because of your love. So we're inviting Him in when we pray that. So the prayer starts, how do you want to love me today? And then it continues, and who do you want to love through me today? And we read in 1 John 4:19 what it said there. So we're going to look at the next two verses, 1 John 4:20 and 21. It says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. We have to love people as well. We're required to love people as well. And we're not to love people just in the way we feel like loving them that day, or a way that's easy or makes sense to us. We're required to love them in a way that points them to Jesus Christ. We have to love them in a way that makes God attractive to them, that they're drawn to God. And it's a way that ministers to their needs, and we love them in a way that encourages them. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that's tough. You know, I've got my own life. I've got my own issues. I've got my own agenda. I've got, you know, things going on. And to be so focused on loving somebody else, sometimes that's a challenge. And it can seem very difficult. You know, there's days that you might wake up and you think, I just don't know that I'm capable of loving somebody the way God wants me to today. But it's not impossible because of the method, because of God's plan for us living this out. And we see God's plan in the prayer. Lord, how do you want to love me today? And who do you want to love through me today? Two things that I think we need to realize about the second part of that prayer. First is that it's not all about you loving someone. It's about God loving someone through you. See, when you start opening yourself up with that first part of that prayer, when you invite God to fill you with his love and you're saying, God, how do you want to love me today? And he starts pouring his love into you. God gives with such generosity and such overflow that you can't help but loving other people. It's just going to flow out of you because of the excess that he gives. And that's how God works. And you think about Jesus in the feeding of the 5,000, and they've got this food, and not only did they feed the 5,000 plus, but they've got this huge surplus of food left over because of how generous God is. And it's the same way with us and the way that God blesses us with his love. You think about even the turning water into wine and what Jesus did there. And if you read about how many barrels of wine he made for this wedding, it's really ridiculous. I mean, it's this massive amount of wine. You know, God is that good. He just lavishes us with generosity. And so when we pray that prayer, when we say, God, how do you want to love me today? It's not a prayer to just meet us where we are. He gives so much more than what we need, and it blesses other people. It gives us the opportunity to really love other people with his love. The second thing that we need to realize is that he's not really asking us to necessarily love everybody in our life all at one time. He's asking you to let him love one person through you at a time. And who do you want to love through me, God, today? It's one person at a time, which for me is less intimidating than having to go out and love everybody in Kokomo today. And I just need to really believe, you know, God's going to answer that. If I ask him, if I say, God, you know, I know there's somebody. I know that's your plan. I know you've got somebody that you want to experience your love today. You're gonna do that through me, and I believe it. And when we do that, it's not as overwhelming to believe, you know, God's capable of doing that for me. It could be maybe a coworker, somebody who's hurting. Could be somebody that you meet in the park. I think the other day Jesse was telling me he met somebody at a park that just he saw they were down. It was obvious from their expression, and he had an opportunity to encourage them. Just being, you know, you're looking for that. You're looking for God to answer that, and he does. Lord, how do you want to love me today, and who do you want to love through me today? If we honestly desire for God to fulfill that, I think our lives will be more of an adventure, and he's going to give us an effective method to engage in the mission that he's given us. He's going to give us that supernatural love that people see and say, what is this? What is different? And gives us an opportunity to share Jesus and bring them to Jesus. So I want to show you this awesome thing that happened in the life of one person in the Bible. Is one of the first Christians. His name was Philip. And this is from Acts 8. So if you have a Bible or an app, Acts 8, verses 26. We've got it on the screen there too. And I don't know if Philip actually prayed this exact prayer every day. I'm guessing not. He spoke a different language. And so he probably didn't pray this. But I think if you read about Philip, you realize, you know, he is this kind of guy. He's the kind of guy who is allowing God to love him, and he's the kind of guy who is really looking. He's on point for opportunities for God to let that love go through him into other people's lives. And so in Acts 8:26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. That's a pretty good day. That's a good adventurous day. And again, I'm not saying that Philip was praying that prayer that you're going to pray, but I think it's obvious, you know, Philip was somebody who was receiving God's love, and he was looking for an opportunity to love someone else. He was looking for an opportunity for God to love somebody through him. And so he saw this Ethiopian guy and knew that it was an opportunity for him to love this one person at a time. And real quickly, I just want to hit a couple of highlights from that story. And we can see how God did this with Philip, but I think this is the same way that God wants to do the same thing in our lives. So first, it seems that God had all of this set up in advance. This was a divine appointment for sure. God's angel tells Philip, he says, "Here's what I want you to do. Go to this place." See, God had it all set up, but Philip had to be listening. And God will guide us, and he will turn our lives into an adventure when we listen to him. God may or may not send his angels to audibly speak to you, but he does speak to us through his word and through prompting of his Spirit. But the question is, are you listening? Are you expecting him to speak to you? Praying this prayer in the morning is kind of a way of setting yourself up to hear from God. It's a way of setting yourself up with questions for him to answer in your life. It's inviting God to speak to you and guide you to divine appointments, just like he did with Philip. And so what might happen is this. Maybe you start out praying this prayer in the morning and you're at work and you look over and you see Bob at his desk or Sue shuffling papers or whatever, and they look out of sorts and you think, you know, they just don't look like themselves today. But you feel this prompting in yourself saying, why don't you go talk to them? Or maybe you've got a friend who calls you on the phone that you hadn't seen for a while, but your heart's been burdened with recently, and suddenly they call you. It seems like out of the blue, like it's a coincidence. Or maybe you're out on a go-for Sunday, and there's somebody that you're having an opportunity to speak with and maybe to pray with or encourage in some way. And it's God guiding you. It's God giving you a divine appointment in answer to the prayer that you've been praying, that he would love someone through you. So we need to say that prayer in the morning and be ready and watchful and see how God is going to answer this. The book of Acts, originally it was written in Greek, and it's translated very accurately into English, but sometimes the fullness of the words doesn't come across necessarily in one translation. And in verse 27, the Bible says, so he, it's talking of Philip, it says, he started out and on his way. And some translations, after the on his way, it says, behold, he met an Ethiopian. So that phrase there translated on his way in the original doesn't really do it justice, because literally what it's saying there is on his way, and then there's just this, wow, don't miss this, an Ethiopian. which seemed kind of strange when I first looked at that and reading that, because I'm thinking, he would have seen people in chariots all the time. You know, what was so different here? And I think that the difference is that he was expecting God to have this divine appointment for him, and somewhere in his spirit, God was communicating these neon lights in some way that Philip knew in his spirit, because he trusted God, he expected God out of the overflow of the love he received to use this to connect with somebody else, and he was looking for it. And God was saying to him, Philip, don't miss this. When he saw this Ethiopian, don't miss this chance. This is the guy. This is the divine appointment that I've got set up for you today. And I think that God does that through us when we're expecting it. So when you feel that nudge that says, you know, why don't you go talk to that guy? Why don't you pray for her? You know, why don't you ask if they're doing okay? Maybe offer to help in some way. You know, don't pass that by. Don't dismiss that, because a lot of times that's God answering that prayer. That's God taking you to that divine appointment where he wants to love somebody through you, and he's got it all set up. And that's the neon lights in your spirit going off. Another thing that I notice about what God does with Philip here is that God takes Philip to somebody who's searching. He takes Philip to this official, this Ethiopian, who is empty on the inside. And we know that because he's looking at the book of Isaiah. He's looking for answers. He's spiritually hungry, and he wanted to know God. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people that we're surrounded by all the time, and we think, you know, wow, they don't know God, but they're so busy with other stuff. Their life is full of sports. Their life is full of, you know, other activities with work or with relationships or family that they don't want to know. They don't want to hear what I have to say. They don't want to take time for me to talk to them about God's love. And I think that's not true. I think actually all that activity is a sign that they're trying to fill up that hunger with something else. Because the reality is that they need something that you have if you know Christ, and they don't. And they have something that, whether they know it or not, they need to receive. They need that overflow of God's love that you've got, and they need the good news of Jesus Christ. And a third thing that I noticed about what God does there in verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And where it says stay near it, that phrase is in the emphatic tense. It basically means stay glued to it. Go to that chariot and stick to it like glue. And so sometimes when we do approach somebody at work or a family member, maybe we do get pushback. You know, we start to show them some love, and we start to let them know we care about them, and they put the hand up, right? Not interested. But the reality is sometimes you just have to keep engaging them with God's love. You got to let that run off. Don't worry about it. Keep praying for them. Keep being there to love for them. And hopefully one day they're going to open themselves up, not necessarily to you, but they're going to open themselves up to God loving them through you. And a fourth thing that I noticed is that when God sets up a divine appointment, it's in his perfect timing. If you look at that, you know, this Ethiopian just happens to be reading a book from the Old Testament speaking about Jesus, written hundreds of years before Jesus was there. And then he brings Philip along to explain to him what he's reading about, that it's about Jesus and what was done to him. Verse 35 says that Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And in verse 36, the Ethiopian says, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Which is interesting. If you look in Scripture, just as a side note, pretty much all the time, I think, most of the times I can think of, when somebody does believe, they're baptized right away. And I've met people before that sometimes they'll say, yeah, you talk to them, you share the gospel, and they say, I believe. And you're like, great. You need to be baptized. You need to declare that. And sometimes they say, no, I need to think that over, or I need to pray about it. And you need to be sensitive and discerning with that. But really, you know, you need to communicate. You don't have to get your life together. You know, you can be baptized right now. Do you believe? If you believe, you're ready. But it's interesting how God's got this set up. You know, the Ethiopian is there. He brings Philip along. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. It's telling about Jesus. Philip has loved. He's ready. He's listened to what this man says. He's discerning. And then he responds in a way that takes the conversation to Jesus Christ, to the gospel of Jesus, the good news. And then the next thing you know, there's water and they're wet, right? They're getting baptized. But you can just see God's hand is all over this. The whole situation is set up in advance. We need to trust that that's what God has for us and not be afraid. When you see somebody and you feel that prompting of the Spirit to go and talk to them or pray for them, whatever it is, don't be scared. You know, it's not your sufficiency. It's the surplus of what God's given you. And it's not you orchestrating the situation. God's got it set up already. You know, God knows what he's doing. And even if that is just a seed planted and they don't receive what you have to say right away, that doesn't mean God's not in it. Maybe that's God's plan. You're the first person, and maybe there'll be two or three more before they really get it. But this was an amazing day in Philip's life, and I'm thinking, you know, there's probably a lot of those for him. But, you know, maybe, I don't know, but if he had kids, maybe he would later on see his kids and tell them, you wouldn't believe what happened. You know, God took me to this Ethiopian, and it was all set up, and it was ready to go, and he was reading Isaiah, and I got to share the gospel, and he came to Christ. And I think God will do that for you. If you'll pray that prayer and if you'll believe it, you know, maybe he's doing that already. Maybe he'll increase and do it even more. As you invite him to give you more of his love, to show you more ways in your life and you're believing him for it, that he's going to give you more of his love, so much so that it's going to increase your love for him and it's going to increase your love for other people and it's going to increase your availability to really connect people with God. And one of the ways for you to test what I'm saying is to pray that prayer, and I hope you'll do that. So every morning, Lord, how do you want to love me today? And who do you want to love through me today? And I think if you pray that and if you mean it, you're going to find out that God has an answer for you. And I do think I should point out, too, the way that prayer begins is, Lord. And for us to really invite him in and for him to be able to for us to be vessels that he can fill up with that love, we need to make sure that he's Lord of our lives, first and foremost, that we're submitting everything to him, that he's being invited in a vessel that's ready to receive. So we have to make sure if there's anything in your life where his love needs to touch and transform and free you up, that needs to be dealt with first. And then you're going to be even more ready, not to be good enough, but just to receive more of his love. There's just more room in your heart where other stuff's being pushed to the side, and you can receive more and more from him and give more to other people. So as the worship team comes on back up, I'd like to pray for us.